Father, we just thank you for allowing us to gather here this morning to come and celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, as we sing songs, as we fellowship, as we listen to Frank's message, all the things that take place here today, I just pray that you would just accept our praise and our thank you. Lord, that everything would just be glorifying to you. So Lord, we pray for just our body this morning and each one that is not here today for whatever reason, and that you would just be blessing them wherever they may be. So Lord, just give us a wonderful time now in celebrating you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
So this is the last sermon in this series of What Child Is This? And we're talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He came into this world about 2,000 years ago, give or take. And we celebrate that tomorrow. And, you know, I know I can't fathom how powerful that is. I wish I could. Tears me up that our Lord and Savior, that God Himself come down here to save us from our souls, save our souls from the enemy that tries to destroy us each and every day. As I say here, and I'm so thankful that my family's here, my mom and my dad, that they're here. And today also is my grandparents' 65th wedding anniversary. And we were just talking this morning about all the marriages that are over 50 years in my family. My wife and I are working on 17. And I'll be, 90 years old or something like that when I hit 50 years. Lord willing, if I'm here that long. But, you know, as I think about families, I think about the solid rock foundations that I have been set on, and what a blessing it is. And I'm certain many of us in the room can say the same thing. I also think of other families that may not have that start, that don't have those building blocks and the struggles that they go through. And, so we're all over the map out here, you know, but I do know that Jesus came for all of it. Sure, He wants us to grow up in those blessings, but also, those blessings are there to start any time. You know, each one of us has a choice each and every day what we're going to do with our life. No matter what has been happened to us and what we have had to go through. Went through. That's not good English. Sorry. I'm just speaking from the heart right now. But that's what He wants for. That's why He came. That's why God sent Him into that manger. To be raised up just like we are. To go through the same things that we did. And to die on that cross for our sins. And so I'm going to move into this. So part of this sermon is already laid out for us. And I'd like to read that to you because it's very good. And I'm just going to have some reflections this morning as I read this. That I want to pass on to you. What child is this? He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, the one we have been waiting for all these years. Kids around the world have the hardest time waiting until Christmas morning arrives. For many, the longest night of waiting of all the 365 nights of the calendar is the one landed between Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. You guys remember? Staying up and can't sleep, the anticipation. Will the waiting ever cease? Will the dawn of Christmas morning ever arrive? How much longer until we can leave our beds and open the morning with celebration and joy in that living room with a family? It's hard to wait for that arrival, especially when you're kids. Do you remember that? We are all called to be waiting people. Let me explain. The theme, command, and call to wait is one that recurs over and over throughout the Old and New Testament in the Bible. Waiting on the Lord is not intended to be a passive part of our life. Rather, biblical waiting is meant to be done in active engagement. When waiting is mentioned in the Old Testament, the emphasis revolves around the daily walk with God and a need to wait on God's provision and care within the pressures and the needs of our life. The primary emphasis of waiting that is mentioned in the New Testament centers on the waiting of the return of Jesus. The waiting for Jesus' second advent should have an impact on how we position and live our lives as followers, as His, as we continue to walk through life in our day-to-day relationship with Him through the power of His Holy Spirit. Yes, the night before Christmas may seem like the longest night waiting during the year. However, the waiting for the advent of Jesus for that first Christmas had been a long time coming for many generations of people. Luke's gospel depicts the waiting that Israel had been engaged with for centuries. This is found in Luke 2, 25 through 32, the story of Simeon. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, when they brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, and you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light of the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." The waiting for the first arrival of the Lord was over. The celebration started, and it started small, but it would grow throughout the years. It continues this Christmas day as we start to celebrate tomorrow and maybe even before. Followers of Jesus all over the world celebrate the waiting of the Messiah is over with regards to the first advent. Now the waiting continues for the second advent, His coming again. This waiting is not meant to be passive, waiting on the return of our Lord. The waiting is meant to be a combination of relational walking and waiting with all the Old Testament emphasis of it being day by day in all our circumstances, while at the same time it being a longing and looking and positioning and preparing of our life for the return of our Lord. Yes, we are the waiting people. We are called to wait with trust, hope, expectant provision, in quiet at times, yet always knowing He is coming soon. Well, as I read that, two words stood out to me: position and prepare. Position and prepare. That's how we're supposed to be waiting. So how do we position and prepare our lives for Christ, the return of Christ? You know, even our celebration tomorrow, how do we position and prepare our lives for our Lord and Jesus? When I think about Christmas, how we prepare, you know, there's the trees and the caroling and the bacon and the music and all this stuff to prepare us for the season of celebration of our Christ being born. And we do those things, don't we? We go position ourselves, go cut down a tree or buy a tree, or we put the lights on and ornaments and the decorations around. We light the candles to remind us of things of hope and joy and peace, because of our Lord and Savior. We turn on the music and listen and sing the songs. We sing the carols this morning. We go get on a hayride and sing to folks that are shut in, and carols and songs. There's so many things that we do to prepare ourselves for that celebration. So how do we position ourselves and prepare ourselves for the second advent? Christ told us in the book of John, we are to be filling our minds with truth that sets us free. John 8:32, the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to be filling our minds with things of God. That's why it's so important for us to read our Bibles daily. You know, it's said to do this daily. They waited daily, prepared daily in the Old Testament. We need to be doing the same thing now, daily. And Christ's word is the truth. He said, I am the truth. There you go, John. John 14:6, right. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We are to walk in His footsteps, He says. We are to do what He did, He said. John 13, and when He washed His disciples' feet that night before He was put on the cross, He said, I do this as an example that you may do this for each other. Love others as I have loved you. John 15, Jesus gives this example, this parable about the vine and the branches, that I am the vine and ye are the branches. We are the branches. And that we got to stay connected to the vine. He said, how do we stay connected to the vine? That you obey my commandments. You do what I did. You love others. But you know what happens is, we don't produce that fruit. God produces that fruit in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we stay connected to Jesus Christ. Because He also says there that apart from me, you can do nothing. If a branch over there by itself can't produce no fruit. Because the fruit comes through the vine. It comes through God and the Holy Spirit working in us. But we got to stay connected. So we do have a part to stay connected. To be obedient to God and His commands and live as Christ did. You see, my friends, that's the connection. Just as Christ came into the world to bring us everlasting peace, He left us with peace of mind and heart, He says in John 14:27. And that Holy Spirit in John 14:20 says, what does He say? He guides us into all truth. Do you see the work that's coming through? Just staying connected. So when I look at the preparation part, it looks like we have some help. Amen. It's not all something that we do. It's not something we conjure up. It's not any good acts that we do. Yeah, we do something, but God does the work in us, right? The Holy Spirit does the work in us. The Holy Spirit produces that fruit in us. God produces those fruit as we stay connected. Now, I struggle with the second one. So that's preparing. But I thought about this next one, positioning. This is where I struggle. And I like to be real with you, amen. I'm going to tell you right where I'm at. Because I think we're all human and we all get the same place in this journey in life. And that positioning is somewhere where I struggle. And there's no, if we think about it, that we have to position ourselves to prepare. And if God's there to help us prepare, and if the hardest part of that is positioning, don't you see the battle of life there? Don't we have an enemy that does not want us to prepare? Does not want us to get close to God? Does not want that fruit to come out of us? And if that's the case, then positioning is going to be the hardest spot. That's where distractions of the world come in, and they could be good things. But keeps us from positioning ourselves where we need to be prepared by God to do His work, right? So, I struggle with this sometimes. You know, it's these things, just like Christmas, the trees, the music, the bring us into the Christmas spirit. I for myself, I still can't get there. I can't get in that Christmas spirit until I get out of the normal. Until I finally, shut my daily work off that I do 365 days a year. Or not quite that many, but anyway, pretty close. I shut that off and I take in. I position myself to be prepared for the Christmas season that I want to celebrate my Lord and Savior coming into this earth to save my soul. See? But it's about position. I turn my mind off to this and I turn on that Christmas music. Well, the boys decorated the tree this year because they got tired of waiting on us. Crystal came in from feeding and they already had it all decorated, ready to go. But that was pretty cool. See, sometimes we need help of others to bring us into that right place too. That's why you come here every Sunday, or should, it's so that you can be uplifted. And I want to tell you, as brothers and sisters sitting out here, that's what you do for me, is you encourage me. Because some of us are up, some of us might be down, some of us in between, but you know what? We're all here to worship our God. And that encourages me that, hey, I can get up and go again, right? That's what you do for each other. And that's why it's so important to be here, because it takes all of us. There's none of us that are lone rangers, right? We're all in this together, okay? So as we position ourselves to be prepared, I have to position myself to be prepared for the first advent. I also have to position myself to be prepared for the second advent, and that's when Jesus comes again. Positioning is the hardest part of preparing. You know, when you exercise, what's the hardest part? It's getting out of bed. It's starting, right? That's right. It's getting out of bed and getting to the spot, right? That's it. You know, what's the hardest part about doing the dishes? Getting to the sink, right? What's the hardest part about getting sleep? Getting to bed, right? What's the hardest part about work? A lot of times it's just getting there. It's all that anticipation running in your head, and you know, we can sit here and, you know, especially nowadays, we study so much on these phones and do so much research. How we should do this, how should we, you know, a lot of times, we need to just start, you know, right? I know I find myself, I'll be at work. Hey, I need to do this workout, you know, and I ain't even started in a month, right? That's not doing a lot of good, is it? You know? We got to start. We got to position ourselves to get that done. And that's the same thing with our walk with God. We need to position ourselves to be prepared. At first, it's hard. Any first step's hard. If it hasn't been a habit in your life, it's hard. Do you guys ever go through dry times with the Lord? You just feel like it's dry? I do. And if I look at, really be honest with myself, it's because, you know what? Franco, you're not praying. You're not praying like you should. You're not getting up in the morning praying. Oh, I pray here and there. Or, well, you're not studying your Bible hardly much until you got to preach. That's not good. Right? See? You know? But it's a lot about what I'm doing. I'm not staying connected to the branch or to the vine. I'm a branch, and I'm still saved by God and everything else, but I'm not connected. You know? And I feel dry. I feel dry. But you know what? Jesus is always there. No matter how dry you are, what about the woman at the well? He said, you drink from this water and you'll never be thirsty again. And that's made to be a daily thing, a constant thing. You know, so it's made, you know, yeah, it's hard at first. You know, it's hard to create a new habit in our life. But you know what? We're habitual people. What we do is what we become. The choices we make are who we are, right? Okay, so our lives are a summation of the habits we choose to do in our life. And I encourage you this morning, myself, I'm just speaking from the heart, all right, that, you know, just keep those habits. Be positioning yourself to be prepared by God. That, you know, and it's not just about us. It's about us glorifying God. You know, Jesus left, but he left us with commands to do, to go and love other people. You know, because that's what changes the world. When we let God fill our minds and our hearts, and we let those actions become our life, what happens to the world around us? That's what changes it. You know, I know we got wars to fight. I know we got battles to fight. But you know, wars and battles and bombs and presidents and all those things do not change the world. It's only when Christ is living in each one of us that changes the world. And that, it magnifies. Why do you think the gospel is still here? It's because a few decided to let Jesus live in their heart and their actions, and it changed the world around them. And that's how it all got to America too, you know, and we need to just reciprocate that back all over the world. I feel like I'm rambling. So, I just want to encourage you that, you know, our fruit in all this is, you know, when we let this happen in our life, when we make those choices to position ourselves to be prepared, God is faithful. He's always there to prepare our heart and teach us and grow us. And fruits are produced. And you know what? Some of the biggest ones is joy and freedom. We're glorifying God when we let that happen, and the joy and the freedom in the heart happens. As a blessing to us from our God. And I just want to encourage you, we're going to close and watch a little short video. Gary's going to get that together. I want you to repeat something for to me. I will position my life. I will. There we go. To be prepared by God. To glorify Him. And bring a smile on His face. And I will receive joy and freedom. Amen. You bet. Gary, let's watch this right quick.
I've always wondered if I'd been at the stable that night.
Would I have seen a king or just a baby?
If I'd stood there with the shepherds listening to stories about choirs of angels, would I have asked, what child is this?
Or would I have known that he someday be the shepherd of all? If I'd watched wise men bring valuable gifts
and kneel down under the guard of heavenly wonders, would I have understood that he was the one in whom I'd find all wisdom?
And that he was the greatest gift of all.
Just as that baby was held by his mother,
he would hold me.
He would hold me with his amazing grace. And his adoption by his father Joseph would be a picture of my adoption into God's family.
Who could comprehend that this baby who was defenseless,
swaddled,
and held,
would someday be the one holding me in his hands?
I didn't witness a star moving across the sky,
or scores of angels proclaiming his birth.
But somehow, in the middle of my ordinary world,
this extraordinary baby's birth found a place
in my worn down, beat up heart.
So like all those people who saw him,
he's the one I've been waiting for.
To repair me.
Redeem me.
Love me.
Forgive me.
Comfort me.
Help me.
Die for me.
Raise me to life.
So what child is this? He's the one who comes to save me.
He's the one who comes to save me.
To save me.
To save me.
He's the one who comes to save me.
He's the one that comes to save you. And he came. Amen. And we're awaiting his coming to take us home to our God, our Father. I want to just pray for you guys, and I want to encourage you, if you're sitting here this morning, maybe you do feel a little dry. You need some encouragement. Maybe we want to talk about something. You know, sometimes holidays bring us into a lot of different emotions. Just we see family we hadn't seen, or, we got a lot of things going on. And maybe some of those things are causing some uneasiness in your heart. And I just want to offer you an opportunity. I'm going to hang up here and grab somebody to pray with you and just bless you over this season. And thanks for coming this morning. We're going to pray as a closing prayer. And then, like I said, if you need prayer, please come forward and we'll pray with you and talk. So it's good to see some different faces this morning. And I know some of you are family, and I just thank you so much that you're here. God, we love you. We thank you for this day, your blessings. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you never give up on us. And even in our worst of times, and we're that you came to save us, that you came into this world to defeat the enemy. And Lord, remind us of that each and every day when we feel burdened and struggled, and that you won. And it all requires of us is just to focus on you, believe, and do what you tell us to do. And God, help us to be obedient and have the courage to do that. And Lord, thank you so much for your blessings of peace and mercy and joy that we don't even deserve. But thank you so much. You love us so much. And may that love continue to captivate us and spur us on to love others as you had loved us. And even though we can't hardly get there, help us to give it 100%. And that others will be touched and hearts will be changed. And we'll see that fruit and being overjoyed to do it all over again. Lord, I pray a special blessing on all these people sitting here in this room this morning. Even some that aren't able to be here that are part of us that are just sick and are held in. God, I pray that your blessing of joy and peace will be on them. And help us on our travels and keep us all safe. We love you and help us to stay focused on you and your love throughout this whole season. In Jesus' name, amen.